Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today I have Sandy Zeldes. Now, Sandy is a spiritual cowgirl. I'm going to find out what that means. Celebrity chef turned healer and subconscious transformation expert with over two decades of experience helping high-achieving women ditch the shame, cravings, and self-sabotage cycles that diets never touch. She's a certified nutrition consultant and advanced EFT practitioner who blends trauma-informed healing, functional medicine, and the nervous system repair for real lasting change. Her clients, they're CEOs, creatives, and powerhouses who've tried everything and are done pretending they have it all together. Sandy's the creator of the number one best-selling Daily Om.
Daily Om, yes.
Yeah. Healing subconscious blocks to weight loss, and it's been featured on NBC, Fox, CBS, and ABC. And the Wall Street Journal. That's an interesting place to be.
Yeah, long ago when I first was writing so much, I've also written articles for a lot of other outlets.
Excellent. She helps women stop outsourcing their work, break free of hidden patterns, and finally feel at home in their bodies with a little grace and a lot of truth and zero diets required. I really, really pleased to welcome you on here, Sandy. We had a little different things with time changes and stuff like that, but we're here. We're here now. So thank you. Thank you.
We're here. We did it. We did it. Yeah.
Excellent. This is a beautiful flow on from a recent interview that I did, which we talk about patterning, brain patterning. So this is more, you know, to do obviously with part of it is with that diet part, but it covers everything once you stop blaming yourself for things too. Now tell me a little bit about you and, you know, not that part that I just read with the bio, but about you and why you do what you do. And I know your email address is Eat Like a Goddess. So that's really interesting. And the spiritual cowgirl. So go for it, Sandy. Tell me.
I mean, so many stories to tell, but really the long and short of it is, I mean, I've had a love affair, you know, with food, of course, my whole life as a chef. And there was a story on my chef site where even as a little girl sitting around the table with family, you know, I said to my grandmother, I was 5 years old, "Grandma, when you die, can I have your recipes?" You know, and like started crying. And so I've had this love affair with food. I loved cooking. You know, I dropped out of graduate school and started cooking, and it was like a miraculous career. It was really fun. And that's a story of success as well, that just from passion, you know, just from, I always tell people, you've got to follow what I think we're most successful following what we're most passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I was, but even with all that success and knowledge and information, I had studied nutrition. I'd been teaching nutrition. I had taught courses at Sur La Table, Whole Foods. I was, you know, prolific and cooking for celebrities and on and on. And I've even cooked for a president, which is kind of funny. That's another story. But even with all the knowledge and information and success, you know, I'd achieved what I wanted to achieve, I still didn't feel good. And I had cravings and I was also exercising 6 to 7 days a week back then. But it didn't solve the problem, right, of cravings and also what's under the cravings, the feelings, right? Feeling, you know, an imposter syndrome, feeling not good, not worthy, not confident. And there was nothing to, it was funny that was the case, right? Because people were confirming that they were hiring me over and over. And I just felt, well, this can't be real, right? So that was over 30 years ago now. I've had multiple careers. And I was just thinking about that today, that it's actually been 30 years. That's how much time. So that's the the synopsis of that and why I do what I do. I'm so passionate about enjoying food as a chef sitting around the table, enjoying food. And, you know, I'd watch as, and back in the day I would, you know, do the salads and smoothies and the restriction and the diets and the cleanses. I had the health conscious woman's version, I call it. You know, I was restricting with cleanses and things like that, right? Salads, smoothies, and going on restrictive cleanses and things like this all the time. And so it saddened me how much we don't enjoy food, right? We're constantly on diets, and our culture has gotten even more extreme over these 30 years that I've been doing this. It's insane. I can't believe I still have to talk about this, right? Like, the dieting culture is so extreme, and our ideas about food. And so, you know, I'm sitting in my apartment in San Francisco, and I'm thinking, what do I call what I do? And everyone who knows me, you know, they were giving me all the stories, and I was like, eat like a goddess. Like, you know, like, let's enjoy food, you know, let's feel good about eating and not feel like we have to restrict, right? So it still resonates. It still kind of fits, as the chef in me wants everyone to eat and love food, not be afraid of food, not fear good foods, bad foods, right? And not even have to think about it, because this is a waste of our time and energy, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot more to think about or do.
Yeah,
most of all have. Go ahead.
I love that, and that's what really attracted me to that. Mm-hmm. Is it? You know, I guarantee every woman on here is going to relate. Doesn't matter what size you are, relate to.
No, it doesn't matter about size. Yeah,
some time to restrict what they're eating, and that word restrict, it has a real tension to the word, doesn't it, as well?
Yes,
and I'm thinking, you know, if you're restricting yourself to something, then it's not something that's favorable to do, and the mind will be going, hang on a minute, I don't like that word. And your mind would be rebelling against it even.
And it's willpower, right? We're using willpower because we really would rather be eating whatever, you know? So it's the war. It's that internal war that we have, and the voices in the head and the constant anxiety, you know, that's the trauma that people describe to me over and over, year over year, no matter how successful they are. It's not about the success. In fact, high achieving women, you know, usually we push ourselves, sometimes because of anxiety, you know? So I personally think it's an epidemic in our culture, and unspoken. I mean, more and more people are talking about it, but, you know, even now I see the focus on, well, can't I just do this quick fix, whatever it is, whatever the cultural theme is. I can tell you that, you know, back in the day when I was, you know, the themes were vegan, raw, you know, and of course those are still things I love, but I also include a steak on that now. Like, you know, I'm just saying, throw a steak with it, but we joke, but I'm a big fan of, you know, us enjoying food and our bodies, feeling good in our own bodies. And again, like you said, it isn't about size. You know, we can be healthy at our own natural weights. I have women who are 5'11" and their natural size is a 12 or 14 even, if, you know, American sizes, and sizes are all over the map, but I'm just saying we are all different, you know. And then there's women who are, you know, 5'2", 5'4", and they have a very petite frame and their natural size is petite, you know. And so however we are is beautiful, right? So it's about us feeling good in our own skin.
And that's the point of it, is feeling good in your own skin. It's, you know, because everyone loves having their photograph taken. It doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter if there's 30 other people in the photograph, that we're so critical of ourselves in that photograph. And that's just how we view ourselves and look at ourselves.
And it's funny to me, because I've had clients, you know, I work with women all over the world. It's been 20 years now. And And sometimes we are on video and sometimes we're not. So sometimes I really don't know what they look like. And they'll send me a picture. And it's just like the Dove commercials. I don't know if you remember the Dove commercials from what, when was that? Like 10 years ago. Their whole campaign about Dove Beauty and how we describe ourselves, you know? And so I would hear someone describe themselves. This is a really successful, wonderful woman who's got it together in so many areas. And you just know she's amazing at her life. Everything in her life is, there's so much good, right, that she's doing. And she has a great family, and she and they'll describe themselves in a certain light, and then I'll get a picture, right? They'll say, well, I'm gonna send you pictures of my wedding or this or that. Here's the weight I want to be. And I often struggle to know what to say, because the way we see ourselves is so shocking, really, like just stunningly
Judgmental.
gorgeous. Yeah, gorgeous women, seriously, by anyone's I mean anyone's standards. In fact, looked like a Marilyn Monroe, this one woman I'm thinking of with brunette hair. She was just beautiful. And I thought, this is how you're describing yourself. That, I mean, I don't want to say it. It was just like she was just atrocious, you know? And so it's that's not everyone. We don't all have but there's these themes out there that we struggle with. And I do think it's a unique phenomenon for the modern era. Is this something that was going on in the past? Of course. But I think there's an interesting element here for modern times, you know? So.
And as you were talking about that, what I've just thought of too is the compliment. Oh, Sandy, you look great. Oh, no, I just
No,
haven't done
don't.
my hair
Yeah.
today. Or what? We don't just accept it.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
and I find this all the time because I work with women to speak up in their own voice and to be able to have the confidence to be to stand in their own power. And I find this all the time is that accepting that compliment, as you're saying, these people look amazing, and they're thinking they're judging themselves very severely, and that's part of that not being able to accept a compliment is because of that subconscious voice placing judgment on everything.
Yeah, exactly. And so I always talk about, I mean, so, in the work I do, I'm working with people who have a lifelong issue, right? Not just, and sometimes a recent issue, like a divorce or a death, and there's like this, a lot of stress and trauma that's built up. So I work with the emotional issues. And what I can tell you about that is it doesn't come out of nowhere when we do that. It's not just cultural, and it's not just kind of a surface level, and it's very common. So there's no shame and blame in it. It's coming from somewhere, and usually there's a tip of an iceberg when we're, kind of feeling a lot of anxiety about food and our bodies and all of that, right? So I've noticed the connection just from working with people. I mean, there's studies, but there's a theme, with trauma from certain ages or certain experiences or things we pass down, mothers pass down or family members, and it's very traumatizing and it sticks, whether we're conscious of it or not. The theme of a focus on body image or weight with anyone in the family, but typically I will say it's the mothers, in my experience. Doesn't mean it can't come from an uncle or something happening with men, but the diet focus, the body focus, the shame, or the restrictive diets. I can't tell you how many clients I've had. Not all. I mean, I say this and then someone's going to think that it's, but it's a lot of different patterns. But one of them is being put on a restrictive diet really young. And it's very traumatizing for children. So one of the outcomes of this work that I feel really just is very profound, frankly, is the effect it has on the next generation when women heal and feel peace with food in themselves, because then they don't pass down, the restrictive food habits and the, all that to the next generation. Or let their sons, it's not just their daughters, but let their sons see them feeling this way, right? Like mom, kids pick up on things, you know, they know how we feel. I think.
No, definitely. And that's so important. And I know we're talking about restrictive diets and those people that you're working with, but I'm assuming it's also people that can't control or have patterning where they,
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And US has got the biggest obesity problem in the world. It's, you know, so you've got the one side to the other, haven't you? It's
Great. It's really interesting, isn't it?
yeah.
So, you know, you look back, I think it's Julia Ross is very interesting. She's written books about it, and she has a history of kind of dieting in the West, in America, you know, but that's the Western culture. Starting out, I mean, obviously there's themes pre-70s, but we have an era that happened of dieting. And studies show that once you restrict calories, even 20% for any reason, you can create an eating disorder in someone after 2 weeks. It only takes 2 weeks. Imagine that. So yeah, they know what they're doing. These the diet industry, you know, everything I believe was I really feel it's orchestrated to get us addicted, to get us focused on our bodies and shame and kind of shut us down, basically, when women were kind of entering the workforce. It's just an interesting time, that's all. And it's just an interesting phenomenon. And started in the 70s. And so the more you introduce dieting, I mean, everyone hears this, but I don't think they really understand that it's a physiological thing as well, not just emotional. You cannot restrict calories. And for a long period of time, in just regular people who'd never had a weight issue, you create an eating disorder. It's very much how it works. And so I'm very much against trends. To be perfectly honest, I mean, doesn't mean there aren't times and places. It doesn't mean I don't agree with aspects of, but I just feel like it's so toxic, the atmosphere of constantly the next thing, you know, that's going to solve every problem because it doesn't. And it doesn't solve the emotional
No,
issues with
I'll be happy when.
it. I'll be happy when.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work like that. Happiness is the way, you know. Peace is the way. And you can find peace with food.
Yeah,
You really
and that's such a as restrictive was a powerful word, the word peace and peace with food. That's quite powerful, isn't it? That
every
just feels so
single client.
comfortable then.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the goal. Because it's never been about the food. I mean, as much as you can create a physiological reaction by doing all these habits, right? So we've got two things happening. We've got the core issues. So the tip of the iceberg issue is how people are behaving with food, you know, and feeling about themselves and living in anxiety, right? And then under that iceberg is the history. Usually, I mean, the people I work with, there's a history there. And most frequently in childhood, right? So before the age of 12, for sure. And then some things, you know, later teenage years, some things, but and it's not to say later in life there aren't things, but our core patterns are really coming from long ago. And that's why we don't really understand all of us. We're all the same. I mean, we might know something happened, but we don't really see the correlation to how that is a causal indicator for our behavior. And you only know by releasing it. And I use the word release because I use a technique that I've become an expert in over lots of years. I first heard about it 35, 34 years ago, a long time ago. And I was using it back then, but not in any way with clients, just using it with my friend who was a psychiatrist, and it was really interesting actually. And so yeah, and then I became serious about it, became a practitioner, as I was going back to nutrition school, I was looking at all these healing modalities. So I combined all of that. And long story short, 90% of the issue is really the healing work. And it's very simple and it's very elegant. It's not talk therapy. It's more of a letting go process. It's like the feng shui of the soul. It's like
And that's EFT.
decluttering. Yeah, I think of EFT as like a decluttering process, but not it's peeling back layers of the onion. You don't have to be conscious of exactly what's going on. It comes up when we're doing the work, and
Can you just
it's a
explain? I
gradual
know what
process.
EFT is, but some of the listeners might not.
Yeah. So it was founded, well, it had a start with someone else, but I'm going to start with Gary Craig, coined the terms EFT, emotional freedom techniques, and it's literally emotional freedom. And it's working with acupuncture points that have been mapped for thousands of years throughout the body. And you don't have to believe in it. You don't have to understand it. It just happens to work. So, and it's not distraction. It's not. It has a genuine effect, and there's been studies about what it does in the body. And you can even see it in a client session in minutes. You can see blood pressure go down, and of course, the stress hormones are going down. But that's just the good, that's just great stuff right there. But the powerful, it's like psychic surgery. You pull out thorns that have been there so long, and then you get to resettle and you start to restructure beliefs. The subtle changing of beliefs is what really happens, where you can eat like a goddess. You can eat whatever you want, and you're not sitting there dieting every day, and restricting and feeling sick and the shame that comes with it. That's the symptom of something from childhood. Can I tell you a story
Yeah,
about,
sure. Love stories.
yeah, I have so many, and this is making me think of a client who's such a sweetheart and, really sweet woman, and she'd been struggling, just with dieting basically and restricting lots of different diets and struggling with cravings for her whole life. I think she was 65 when we were working together, and started, when she was 14, I think. I could have the date wrong, but it is around 14, maybe a little bit earlier. Some people it's much earlier. It's not always teen years. And for her, there was repeated patterns of abuse. And while that is a pattern for some women, it's not always the pattern. So I just want to put that out there. I'd say 50% of my clients have this history. And when it's there, it's very obviously very traumatic, obviously. And women, even if we have bad relationships or we've had a lot of negative experiences with men, or we're not comfortable with dating, or we don't. Something's going on. We protect ourselves with weight too. And so it's not just food behaviors, but you cannot take off weight when you have a subconscious need to stay safe, period. Your body will fight you. I mean, it's crazy. It's so brilliant, Our bodies are brilliant, and they're just trying to help us, right? And so for her, it made so much sense. It made so much sense. Out of everything she'd survived. The trouble was, though she knew about these things, it's really interesting how we still can behave from something that happened, 55 years ago or 50 years ago. And it's frustrating for people, right? It's very frustrating because you're like, well, that happened so long. Why do I care? Why is this happening? We carry it. We carry our stress and our traumas. The weight of our stress, the weight of our histories, the weight of our trauma, the weight of our anything that happened to us. And it's how it works from my experience working with people. And it's very literal, it's very real. And we don't realize how it's impacting everything in our lives. I mean, I think it sounds obvious that it's impacting our lives, but these are very successful people, most of them that I mean, in the world. You can be successful being a stay-at-home mom, and I'm all for it. And so I have people of all, I'm not, saying that you have to have a certain achievement level in the world, but most of these people have. And so they're so frustrated with being stuck with this. And they're not necessarily looking for the next level of achievement, right? It's not top of mind. They feel fine. But after doing this work, letting go, whatever they need to let go of from the past, it is such a freeing experience in every area of their lives.
And it would affect everyone else in their lives as well, I'm imagining.
Oh, it affects the kids, their relationships with kids. It affects their relationship with partners every time. I mean, every time. And but really fun is their creativity changes. And it's different for every person because we're all different. Everybody has their own, I feel, template. We all have our own kind of divine, kind of inspired path, And so what makes you happy is, not the same for me, or maybe you love doing something a certain way and it wouldn't work for me. And, but one of my clients made more money on vacation in Italy and brought her husband and wasn't working hardly at all than she'd ever made killing herself and binging and freaking out and being anxious, for this brand that she created, an American brand that she was famous for. But she was, I mean, she was so restricted, right? And after the work, she had no anxiety, wasn't binging, wasn't stressed, was super happy. And this is all very quick, too. This isn't like years. This is a couple months. And she had an inspired idea that she never would have thought of before. And she kind of laughed. And I said, "You need to do it." I said, "You go do that." I was like, "Just do it. Why not?" And we worked on the fear of doing it. And she sent out a little email on a Friday. That weekend, her agent got back to her and she was off to Italy for 3 months, making more money, like I said. So that's the kind of thing that's possible for us, but we don't know. She was already successful, but she was suddenly happy. And it was this beautiful creative project in Italy. And of course, she's worth it because she's created this brand for this famous American company. Of course, and they said yes immediately to her, right? So that's what's possible when we are clear of our
And
stuff.
often when we get stuck in our stress, we've got all these other
Absolutely.
symptoms, we're exhausted,
Right.
there's a whole lot of other things, and we don't stop to recognize that there's something there.
Oh no, we don't know, all of us, right? We get stuck in the stress mode, and stress is like a destroyer of our optimal success, and our health, obviously. But, I mean, the amount of health issues we all have from stress that we take for granted. We usually think, well, I'll just have that. That's one of my favorite things that clears up. And it's not even part of the wish list when I work with people, but it's like, oh, I didn't tell you I'm, all my inflammatory markers are down. And, this one woman thought she was going to have a heart attack and all those symptoms are gone. And she was very obviously excited. Even crazy problems like, I mean, I'm thinking of all these clients recently, like a foot problem that went away, like it's just all related. Our body's talking to us all the time, all the time. All of us, we embody, and men are really fun that way, actually. Men really embody, in my experience. They express it through pain. Yeah. It's really interesting, actually.
And look, there's so much has happened, in the world in the last 5 years as well, and there's so much going on in the world also.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
that's stress. And if you happen to be a person that watches mainstream media, then you're bringing more stress into your body every time you, because there's nothing ever good on that. It's just
Terrible. Yeah.
timing the problems of the world. There's You're being bombarded, and I think a lot of people just want to push through it.
It's hard. I mean, we're all in it together. We're all dealing with world situations and lots of new problems. Like there's been a separation of, that's the biggest thing that I think in my mind anyway, the first thing that comes to mind is the separation that's happened amongst people is very traumatic. And for us as individuals, and then the changes in work life for a lot of people, there's been a lot of changes. And
Yeah, there
but
definitely has. And I don't know how it was in the States, but we're from the issues 5 years ago created a lot of separation is a great word, but a split in beliefs. And in Australia, with the government that we've got, people are very polarized. And I know the US, it's very polarized one way or the other as well. So then that sort of causes, you know, that stress within, if you don't happen to agree with what is going on in your own country. But that's that separation for me that I just feel divided is probably a better word.
It's unnecessary. The
country seems very divided and the world is very divided in Australia.
It seems like that's what they want. That's what they want from us.
It is what they want, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't play that. You know, I try not to play it. But and I think I advise, like, why would we see other people that way? They're not a meme. They're not a social media post. They're a human being. Mm. I've always had friends of all walks of life and different beliefs. You know, even though I'm very opinionated, everyone who knows me knows I'm very opinionated and strong-willed or whatever. But I still really, you know, I see people as people. I don't know. So I think that even though, and it's affected me deeply too. Mm. Very much it's thrown me off at times. And I think it's been an opening for all of us to go deeper into, like, lots of new stuff has come up. Okay. Like stuff that I thought I'd worked on and I was done with, you know, I'm like, wow, that stuff's up, you know? So it's layers, Mm-hmm. And, it's just human. We're just, you know, however, I will say that I think that, how do I say this? And not sure how to say it. I think that our perception of stress does change depending on how much healing work we've done on our past traumas, right?
Okay.
So less triggered, less need for the world to be a certain way for us to be happy or feel safe or, although, you know, obviously it threw us all off. Like there's a lot of things that have thrown me off, especially, you know, things that changed dramatically that affected everyone I know. Mm. You know, I know so many entrepreneurs who lost businesses and, you know, very traumatic in the censoring that was going on and, you know, affected everyone I know. So there's real world stuff. However, how we tolerate dramatic, you know, world events and situations really does have to do with our individual ability to handle stress.
Mm. And
right.
Yeah, I think that I think we can have another whole conversation.
I think we should, maybe.
I think we're sitting on the same wavelength.
We might want to have another one. Yeah. I'm doing another podcast about this too with somebody else.
I'm quite controversial as well, Sandy, and people know that.
I'm very controversial. I was censored for speaking up, and I am a big fan of authenticity, and I don't think people should be censored for speaking up. And I was very disappointed in social media. I was a big adopter, and I mean, I had a big presence and everything. And so you'll see that now I don't approve of social media very much. you know, it's a necessary evil in some ways, right? To talk to people.
Absolutely. I had people come to me and say, well, you know, I'm not going to work with you if that's the way that you are. And then I have other people come to me and say, I don't agree with you, but I'm going to work with you because you're brave and
I don't think it's necessary to know. Yeah. And I don't think it's necessary to know. I mean, everyone knows I'm a natural health practitioner since I was a baby. Mm. Like I was a little girl. And my mother brought us to these little corner, you know, health food stores. Like, this is not a fad for me. I've studied this. Mm. I used to, you know, in college, I was going to write one of the papers I was asked to submit at UC Berkeley for to do a PhD thesis, but it was this whole project anyway. But I could have submitted it for a PhD project. It was all about exactly the work I do now, which is crazy. I've been on this path forever, apparently. But just taking healing from all angles, you know, the food, the environment, right? The stress, the societal, the childhood trauma, it's all of us, right? So the whole person. But anyway, it was about belief. And I still have that paper. I just unearthed it when I moved. So handwritten back in the day when I was in college.
It might be time for it to have the light of day. It's
well, it's just, I could barely, I could barely read my own writing, but
you know, this, and this is what, you know, what you're talking about. And that's one of the things with EFT, that it can reduce or
absolutely
tap into it, the subconscious.
Absolutely. That's what it does. And so you don't ever have to know, you just start where you're at. And it's, I always describe it like peeling layers of an onion, always. Because the core of it is always how we feel. In my experience, you know, there's usually some hurt, obviously. There's hurt, there's wounding, there's anger, there's resentment, there's usually hurts, you know, and worthiness and how we feel about ourselves is the core wound. And it, children always blame themselves, right? The, especially the younger. And we have to, actually, to feel safe, because if it's not, if it's us, it's something we can control. But if it's somebody else who's supposed to be in charge, you know what I mean? Then that's too scary. So it's a, it's 100% coping mechanism that's human. That's what we do.
And we got to push through. I mean, that's what we've always been taught.
Well, we don't even know we're doing it though. We all just grow up around it. It's like a carrot grows around the rocks, you know, like, you know, we survive, we thrive, you know, and most of the time, it's also our strengths. So it's not a negative. Like, I feel like a lot of our strengths and our giftedness and our, it's an opportunity. There are our opportunities. There are our gifts. There are our challenges become our gifts and our opportunities every time, every time. I don't know how I could say that 100 ways, but I've said it so many times because I see it. So like the bigger the challenge, the greater the opportunity. Right. And so, I just see that happen for people, all of us. So it's not that, oh no, this happened and it's so awful and oh no, I'll never be the same. It's like, well, you are you because of it. You probably wouldn't necessarily want it to be any different, even though it has created things that don't work for you today. We get to work with that. You know, like, I had a very stressful childhood in many ways. And there's a million good things, I think, that came out of that, you know, that made me who I am. And I can't change that. And I wouldn't want to at this point. Like, I can't even imagine, you know. And all that good stuff came with those challenges. But I also don't have to live in anxiety for the rest of my life because of it. So we can take the gifts and let go of the parts of it that aren't working, the anxiety, the stuff that provokes anxiety and feeling lack of confidence and stress.
Yes. And when you're anxious about anything, then you can't make good judgments. You're basing those judgments on a place of fear or withdrawal rather than stepping into it. So it does affect everything that you're doing in life. And then that's where the eating the wrong food and doing the wrong thing. And then they have the feeling shame and guilty.
Right. And we can push through with willpower and all of that and have a lot of success graduating college, you know, starting that business, you know, doing all these things that we all do. And it's great. And I think of my clients who've achieved so much. And then the one who went to, when we release the stress and the anxiety, suddenly she has an inspired version of herself come into play that has so much more freedom in it and fun for her and money just so happened. Yeah. And I bet she created something really cool that summer. I don't know, but she was fine.
Yeah, how does this fit with intuition? I mean,
that's what I was going to say. I forgot what I was going to say about that. So yeah, so the intuitive is where you really want to operate, and inspiration comes from that intuition. And so when we release that stress, like, one of the number one things we can do is let go of the stress, because it blocks intuition, right? So when you feel your own intuition, that's the answers, in my experience, that lead us to the simpler path, the easiest path, the funnest path, maybe the best path for us in a given situation. Does that make sense? So like I watch people take business classes and, you know, years ago I was in like every class and everything. And I watch people struggle with implementing and doing things. And I always thought, I know I will fail at that because I hate it. I know I'll fail. I'm just, my mom raised me a certain way, and for better or worse, I can only do what I love. I mean, she gave me that. She definitely gave me that, me and my sister, that very proud of us for doing what we love. And we're both super creative entrepreneurs, you know, like we just go crazy for stuff that we love. And, you know, you can fall flat on your face, but you do it, you know? And so I know myself, right? I can't follow the path that I see, you know, this person do that I know they're going to be great at because they're okay with that path. Do you know what I mean?
And that's something that judgment on ourselves going, well, especially with social media. Oh my gosh, that person looks amazing. That person's successful. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors at all. And we don't know what's going on in that
That's
person's
right.
mind, but
we're
making a judgment of ourselves and by comparing with someone else.
Right. And I decided I didn't like to travel. This was like 15 years ago. And I watched everybody do a lot of traveling and stuff. And I was like, I'll be miserable. I just want to be with my horse. Right. Like I want free time. That's my happy. So I was like, I love to write though. Back in the day, I loved to write. Now I don't anymore for some reason, but I used to write and oh my goodness, I would write. That's why I was prolific with writing and I would write great email stories about things and I loved writing. And so I knew I could do that. I knew I would enjoy that. It would make sense. It would have energy. That was me. I don't know how to explain it any other way. And it worked. It was successful. But if I had gone traveling and doing all the things, I just think it wouldn't have worked. I don't think I would have succeeded that way just because I was miserable, you know? And I used to joke that I made more money riding my horse, spending all day with my horse. And then I would have work around him than any other, you know, like that was how I made money. Like, you know what I mean? Just, it was like, I did more then. I was a highly achieving doing less. And that's how it works. That's how it always works. I feel like is when you're the most happy you can, and productivity increases when you're happy, right? When you're relaxed, right? We know this. So, you know, it's not about how much you do. It's the potency of what you do, the effect of what you do, right?
Absolutely. And that's a little bit like the podcasts that I've been doing. So this, your podcast will be 188 podcasts that I've done over the last
that's amazing.
10 years. And they used to be every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks now. Why do I keep doing it? Well, I actually love the being able to learn from people and to hear different perspectives from different people and things that I'll go, yeah, that's great, I'll apply it. Other things will go, somebody else will need to apply it. But I also have found I'm good at it. That's another thing. I absolutely love doing it because
you love it. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. But I've had people randoms. I was traveling to a remote town in outback Queensland and this person was helping me with the phone and it popped up my Gmail, which was wearewomen@gmail.com. And she said, oh, I listened to that podcast. And it was just as random. And she said, I said, oh, I'm Janine. That's my podcast. And she did the whole, you know, fan thing. And it was amazing.
Great.
We're both in tears. And she said, it's changed my life. The people that, you know, I've heard you and I've heard other people and I able to step up for myself in a situation, move away from it. I'm now in this town that I love working with people and doing a job that I love. And that's another reason that I love to do it. You don't know what that ripple effect is. You don't know the cause by you changing or by you doing what you're good at and that you love doing. You may never, for me to have run into this woman 2,000 kilometers away in a remote town and only because she saw the Gmail, I don't know that. And you don't know. But as you said, you know, finding your creative and being able to reduce the stress and then doing something that intuitively seems to be right for you is just so important to be able to do that. And it does reduce stress when you're doing things that you love.
Oh, it's alignment. It's alignment. Being in alignment with what you really, who you really are, who you, what you really love, and kind of expressing your, I call it a divine. I think it's already there. We're born with it. And it comes natural to us. And so we often overlook our own natural gifts because it comes so natural, you know? So the thing, I don't know who said this. You might know the coach, but there was a business coach who used to say, I wish I could remember who it was, that the thing that comes the easiest to us is the thing we should make the most money for. And it's the thing we often overlook, the thing that's natural to us. Like, you know, intuition is probably my biggest gift. You know, I can just see things. And when I'm talking to someone, I can just, I don't like the word psychic, but it's intuition. I can understand very clearly and see what, where to go, you know, for healing. I do it with animals as well. It's the same work. It's really the same work. But I can see, you know, I could just see it. And I've always had that. I was a little kid and I did that. So now I have tools and, you know, certifications and, you know, I've training wheels.
It always makes us feel better when we have those, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I don't use it the way people think, you know what I mean? I have to intuit. It's the only thing I know how to do.
Yeah.
Do well anyway. Like, I feel like I'm really good at that. And everybody has their gift. You know, I have a friend who's great with images and, you know, seeing style. You know, we all have our gifts, right? You have a gift inspiring people through bringing people together and other things too, I'm sure. But this is obviously a gift, you know,
I've got a filing cabinet that works in my brain, which is really interesting. But, and that's one of the reasons I don't get overwhelmed with ideas and things. I just open up a file drawer and pop it in there and then close the drawer, and then that's forgotten until I get, oh, that's an idea. I can pop back in that drawer, and I pop back in that drawer, and then I close the drawer and I don't have to be thinking of. I didn't realize everyone doesn't do that until a few years ago. And it just means I'm not constantly overanalyzing and thinking of things that aren't important at the particular time. But when an idea or thing pops in, I'll go, oh, I need to know that now. And I'll do that, pop it in. So, yeah.
Super logical. It's good. You know, it's clear. You're very clear, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It helps. It helps organization and things like that. So it's one of the things that I've had to learn over the years is I don't have to be in control of everything. And so that, because of that way of thinking, it does lend itself to the negative, which is control. But I've learned, my guides have come through and they gave me a bit of a beat around the head. And
I think it's impossible not to have a need. Like, I wonder if that's just one of our lifelong as humans is like letting go and, you know, letting this divine inspiration, which I feel is like the key to everything, actually rule our lives and take over is, I think it's hard.
Yeah.
I think it's the challenge. I think it's one of our biggest things is to let go.
Definitely. And that's part of, you know, we'll wrap it up now with the closing points, but that's what coming back to what you do with people with their stress and the food issues is with the EFT is to be able to let go of those issues.
Is letting go of the past, letting go of, letting go of emotion, letting go of stress, letting go of beliefs. So we can hear our own inner voice and intuition is really
definitely
what it comes down to.
We always wrap up with, because we talk about so many different points, is there three particular takeaways that you want people to remember?
Yeah. So I think the first one, because I know people feel a lot of shame and, you know, they can't believe that they're so capable and why can't they implement? And, you know, they get down on themselves. So the first thing is just, there's no shame or blame in this. It's a pattern and it tends to be a very common one. And so it is changeable with the right approach, looking deeper.
Can I just say the person that I've interviewed on the previous podcast, one of her takeaways was no shame. or blame.
Yeah, no shame. I mean, you don't have to be ashamed of it. It's very common. You're not alone, you know. It's a very common way in which people cope with anxiety. In short, the word anxiety fits for what we're really doing. And I would also say that, I say this in different ways. I used to quote Eve Ensler, "Your body's not broken. There's nothing to fix, but it's protecting you." In many cases, whether we're conscious of it or not, that we don't have to be conscious of why. And the third thing is, let's all, what if some of through our greatest challenges, some of our greatest challenges, comes incredible opportunities when we do this work, like just the kind of opportunities you couldn't even imagine now that will become miracles in our lives, right? From doing this deeper work. It's a massive miracle, really, the
Yeah,
outcome.
that's good. Yeah, I like that. And it's just being able to clear some of the stuff that we need to clear to open those up, the door for
Feng
opportunity.
shui.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to declutter your house. Well, you got to, we declutter ourselves a little bit
Yeah,
and continually.
absolutely. Sandy, I have absolutely loved our conversation. How do you want people to get in touch with you? What do you want them to do?
So they could go to my website. I'll be posting a link for the podcast when we have it, and it'll have a couple different options. There's the Daily Om course they can look at. It's a low cost online course. There's a free audio on my website. I kept it very simple on purpose, to just experience 10 minutes of stress relief using tapping. And then they can also work with me. They can fill out an application to talk to me about working together. And so they can go to eatlikeagoddess.com. That's a very older site. You can see the evolution. I purposefully didn't forward it because anyway, it's different, but in sandyzeldis.com, and I know my name's hard to spell, but we'll have a link, I think.
There'll be all the links in the show notes and everything.
So that's the way to find it, and I will have a direct link with those for the podcast.
Excellent, excellent. All right. It's been great having you on here. I have always enjoyed conversations I have with different people, and as I said, I think we're very much on the same track with a few of those particular issues as well, which is
Real pleasure talking to you. I'm
yeah.
so it's great to connect that, we had that. I didn't know it was Australia at first, so that was crazy. But I'm
We got the time
really glad.
zones. It's all good. Now that was great. Thank you, Sandy. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember to go when you're listening or you're watching on YouTube to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Greatly appreciate it. Love your feedback as well. And if you've got any questions, go to JeaneVosper.com and book a strategy call. I'd love to be able to connect with you wherever you are in the world. And look forward to you joining us next time on the We Are Women podcast. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.